Welcome to the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. My name is Mauricio, and with me, as always, is my amazing co-host, Tyler.
Tyler. Hey, what's up, guys? Dude. Hey, listen, that was a rough start.
That was a crash landing right there. you ever sneak up on the alphabet and you expect words to come out? You're like, all right, here we go. Come here, you little vowels and consonants.
I had so many moments like that today in work. My brain, told my boss, I'm like, my brain is fried. Oh, like, I know we literally just talked about this 10 minutes ago, but like, can you remind me everything you said?
Yeah.
Because my brain forgot it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, it's great. It's great.
It's
just awesome to kind of, you know, start a sentence without thinking where it's going to end. Hey, so this podcast, one of the new things we got to do now is because we have some exciting news. We have a new sponsor.
Yes.
Our new sponsor for the episodes going forward is Doji Natural Products. And Doji Natural Products, they are an amazing company.
They are, and so cool.
Yeah. Doji Natural deodorant is clean, ultra effective, pH balanced to work with your natural chemistry to keep you fresh all of the time.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about this deodorant, and we talked about it a little bit last week before we had this awesome partnership in place. The cool thing about this product is that the ingredients list is pretty small.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people are becoming a lot more conscientious of what they're kind of putting in and on their bodies and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's really cool to be able to see this and be like, I know exactly what's in it, and these things are not going to kill me.
Yeah, the cool science behind it is that it naturally kills like all the odor-causing bacteria, and it kind of fixes the root cause of body odor rather than like masking it.
That's what regular deodorant does. And it's, dude, honestly, I've had some weird experiences with regular deodorant where it starts to kind of like not feel comfortable, and it like makes your skin irritated. Because all this is really doing is like filling your pores.
So it's gross. It's like if you really think about it, you're slathering some white residue on your armpits and you're hoping that it'll last.
You're just praying.
Yeah. You know, so like I've used it. I'm on like what I like to call the 21-day Doji challenge and trying to see, you know, at one point, do I give in and use another product? But no, this thing has been rolling. I work out, then I put it on, last all day, and then I get home. So yeah, Doji Natural Products, if you use the promo code GRIZZLY20, you will get 20% off, and for a limited time only, you're going to get free shipping.
That's awesome.
That's
guys.
Awesome.
Listen,
man.
Hey, check it out. We've been using it, both of us. My wife really loves the smell. Mm. I got this mountain pine.
Yeah, so you smell like a mountain pine.
Dude, I do, don't I?
Like, it's good.
It's so good. Yeah. I feel 10 times manlier.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that.
And I smell like an orange.
Yeah.
Fresh tritures.
It's very cute.
So good. So good. Thank you.
Dude, also, in other supporter news,
yes,
we've got a new Patreon member.
Woo!
Bro,
Who is it?
Pat coming through and just supporting us month to month with a pledge is Erica. And so, honestly, we could not be more thankful. Erica, you are the best.
Oh, yeah.
I think we know Erica kind of from Instagram and stuff. We know she's into working out.
Yep.
She's into baking.
Yep.
She sent us some baked goods.
Ooh, like marshmallows.
It doesn't get any cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Erica. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And we got a couple shout outs as well. Rob Rast. This dude is killing it on Instagram. He invented or patented, you know, one of those bicycles that is electric, and as well as a skateboard that's electric. His company's awesome, and they're really trying to cut down in California pollution. And so having an electric bike and having an electric skateboard to roll around, I was talking to him on Instagram Live, and he goes, man, this bike can go 15 hours. Like, so much more, like, more than you actually want to skate. Like, I don't think you've skated 15 hours straight.
My legs would explode.
Yeah. But you're just standing on the board and you're going.
That's so cool, man.
And so he's kind of an awesome guy, young entrepreneur, and really killing it on Instagram. So shout out to Rob, man. He's doing good stuff. And he really wants to jump on the podcast and talk about mental health and all that stuff. So he's an awesome guy.
That's awesome. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, man. We've got this guy named L323.
Yes.
AKA Jeremy M. He's a Christian rapper that listens to our podcast all the time. He's got a new single on SoundCloud called Why We Do This. Awesome track, man. It sounds legit.
Dude, I'm realizing we have so many cool people that listen to our podcast for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, we're not that cool.
No.
Why are they listening to us?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Is maybe it the genuine feeling that we have?
I think it's the genuinity.
Genuinity? That's not a word,
well,
is
it? Well, it is now.
Nope. Let's not go there.
Listen, honestly, though, we got entrepreneurs. We have, you know, police officers.
Musicians.
We have musicians, mm-hmm. people who are specialized in all these different things.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we're, you know, we do this every week. We shout people out. But guys, you guys are awesome, man. Like, keep doing you. And mm-hmm. we just appreciate you coming back each week.
Yeah, Grizzly fam, you're amazing. We love you. So.
We love you. And we also love a nightly news.
Nightly news.
Dude, let's dive in.
I'm scared about what you've cooked up this week.
Oh, man. Brother, you're in for a treat.
Oh, brother.
All right, dude. This first one, you're going to love it. I know you are.
I got you.
So, here's the deal. There was a situation, and this is important.
I like how every time you start the news, you start serious. It's always something ridiculous. All right, go
listen,
on.
Listen, this is serious, guys. We mm-hmm. found, not we, but we collectively as a human race, found this poor lady owl.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal. We found her. We thought she was injured.
Oh.
And this was in Suffolk.
Yeah.
And rescuers, they were worried that she was injured. They were worried that she wasn't going to be able to recover.
Right, because she wasn't trying to fly, really.
She couldn't, mm-hmm. She couldn't fly. She was like, what's going on with this bird, right? And mm-hmm. we all care about animals around here, so let's figure this out. Well, turns out the poor bird, she was just super obese.
Wow.
And it's like obesity is a big deal, even with animals.
Even with owls. You're like, okay, well, who's obese? And the owl's like, who?
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 Who? It's like, doesn't want to take the blame. Yeah. Like, not me.
Owl, listen, if you're chubby, it's all right, dude. It's all right, you know?
Listen, there's always a way to come back, though, right? Like, there's hope is not lost.
Did they put her on did they put the owl on CrossFit, or what did they do? Did they make the owl do squats is what I want to know.
Well, all I know is there's some pictures of the owl flipping tires and hitting things with a sledgehammer. And turns out...
always talking to us about keto.
Always. Just talking our ear off.
All right, we get it. You're ripped, owl. We get it.
She did, though. She got ripped, and mm-hmm. she lost weight, dude. And this is like a success story, because now she's back in the wild.
That's awesome, man. Have you ever seen an owl skeleton? The scariest thing you'll ever see.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't Google it. As Tyler goes to Google an owl skeleton.
What?
No, it's scary. It really is.
I'm trying to figure out why you know this.
Well, I just like Googling random animal skeletons, because what? You, come on. All right? Owl skeleton's crazy.
This is a real nerd for skeletons.
Yeah. Sloth skeleton, scariest animal out there.
That sounds actually terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's all bony and long. It's weird. So shout out to this owl for losing a little bit of weight and being able to fly again. We've all been there after the holidays, so.
Yeah. If this owl can do it, you guys can do it.
Yeah.
You know, you got your goals, stick to them. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
And here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's good news for animal lovers who have pets that are overweight.
Yeah.
Okay. We found out there's a fitness tracker for your cat.
Yes. This is probably one of the better articles we've thought of, because ever look at your cat and say, I know how we talked about last week how we love chubby cats.
Yes, we do.
Some people don't. And some people want to make sure their cat is healthy.
There becomes a point maybe where the chub is a little too much,
right?
You know, like, I love a good chubby cat come sit on my lap, but what happens when your cat can't get on the couch?
Yeah, when its legs are too chubby is what it is. Yeah, when this is feline fitness.
Yeah, isn't this wild? I was mm-hmm. What do you think of this, man? Because apparently this thing, it's called Purr Song. It's hilarious when you see it. It's literally a fitness tracker that goes around your cat's neck.
Yep.
And it tracks fitness. Like, can you imagine checking at the end of the day? Like, okay, well, while I was at work, my cat did, 10,000 steps.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's on track to reach his goals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's crazy because it's just this little collar. It goes on the cat. It lasts about a month from one charge. So that's good. You know, you get to just charge it and it'll last a whole month. And really, it's to catch any weird irregularities with your cat. So if your cat is not sleeping as much. Usually, I guess that's a sign to take him to the veterinarian.
Oh.
You know, so like it's really to catch all these little things. But it is kind of cool that we're able to track our pets and kind of make sure that they're healthy, because that's a huge thing. Like if your cat is overweight and it really does need to lose some weight. I mean, what's next though is what my thing is.
I know, like, right?
Cats on a treadmill?
Probably.
Cats at Planet Fitness?
Like VR for cats?
Yeah.
Like we're going to strap a headset on our cat and like, imagine, here's your VR, like, yeah, and it just runs around and like,
well, like a little, yeah, put like a little mouse in the VR and then it's running around, dude. But then it's probably bumping into walls. It's probably seriously injuring itself.
It's one of the great dilemmas that science hasn't figured out yet is
that
how to
we
do
need
it.
To spend government research on cats and VR and how we can get them to do things. Apparently they don't like cheese, but yeah. I think no, but this is important, man. I think they definitely need to they need to make sure that their cats are staying healthy. And if you want, you know, I want a Fitbit. I haven't gotten one yet, but I feel like it is a cool thing to have because it, you know, keeps track of your heart rate and all this stuff. And
yeah, it is cool. You know,
it'd be cool to give it to your cat and be like, Merry Christmas, Sprinkles. You better lose some weight, buddy. The cat's going to look at you like, you think I'm too fat, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't judge me.
Yeah, don't judge me for being. You're the one that gets me this really fancy feast. Cat food. Have you seen the commercials for that? It's
yeah,
like
that
this white
crazy
cat that's so pretentious. He's like, fancy feast.
Yeah, feed me my fancy feast.
Yeah, yeah, pathetic.
Oh man, yeah, cats are just hilarious. Oh, yeah. And here's to healthy cats, I guess, you know?
Yeah, man.
Going forward, 2020, new decade, new cats.
Skinny cats, skinny owls.
Let's get skinny.
Yeah.
Dude, so here's a cool thing.
All right.
We found out.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, I believe this was announced.
Yes.
That they are coming out with a Space Jam 2.
Space Jam 2.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I know you remember Space Jam 1.
Space Jam 1 was one of the most amazing movies starring really like three people. And the rest were all cartoons.
And I think we've talked about this before, how amazing it is that actors can act in like a green room with
know, Bugs Bunny isn't really there.
I know,
but it's all feels Michael Jordan, just, you know,
it's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I just think, man, like, how do you pitch this movie to Michael Jordan? You're on the phone with Michael Jordan and you're like, hey, I know you're like an NBA champion,
yes,
but you know, I want you to do this movie where you play basketball. And so you're thinking, all right, it's going to be fine. You know, basketball is my element. He goes, all right, well, who's going to be on my team? Bugs Bunny? I was like, what?
He's like, Bugs, like, what team does he play for? I don't remember that name.
Remember,
like,
no,
what?
No, the cartoon, like, Bugs, but he's going to hang up on
come
you.
Again?
Michael Jordan probably
somehow he didn't hang up, though, and he made us one of the most iconic movies of the 90s?
Yeah.
And so, dude, how crazy is it that they're making another one? And this one is going to have LeBron in it.
Ooh,
man.
LeBron James. Dude. So I've got a weird relationship with LeBron James. He used to play for the Miami Heat, which is my team.
Yeah.
And then he left. But he also left to go back to Cleveland, get them a championship. Then he left Cleveland to go to, he's in LA. So everyone's saying LA Bron. LeBron, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a weird thing, but I think if anybody's going to do Space Jam, it might as well be LeBron. He is one of the biggest stars nowadays.
Dude, for real. So if you can find it in your heart to forgive him, Mauricio.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Right.
I mean, I could. Okay, fine.
Just for one movie.
All right, fine.
One Space Jam.
Okay. But that's it. After the 2 hours, I'm going to unforgive him. Is that possible? Anyway, yeah.
Whatever you need to do. Hey, listen, if you guys are interested in this, actually, okay, if there's people out there that are like really into sneakers, because I know how some of you guys get, they just dropped these hilarious Space Jam 2 like versions of Nikes.
Ooh.
With LeBron. And like, they're hilarious. And like the swoosh is like made out of fur, like as if it was like Bugs Bunny fur or something.
That's amazing.
So yeah, check it out.
I'm going to pick them up. The Jordans right now that Michael Jordan wore in Space Jam are like really expensive.
Oh,
like,
I can imagine.
Like they're crazy. Like, their originals, like whenever you get, like when he first came out with the movie, it was like, I want those shoes. Like, people get crazy about shoes, man. Like,
dude,
hundreds of thousands of dollars, like craziness about shoes.
I know, it's wild.
Give me a pair of Converse, I'm all right.
Yep.
You know,
I know.
Yeah.
Yep. Or I boots. Hear you. a nice pair of Vans.
Oh,
and dude. I'll just be happy.
Yeah.
I'll
well, you've got so several nice pair of Vans, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm a little spoiled.
Yeah.
I got two.
There was one with the flames on them.
I got two. Yeah, those are pretty. Yeah. I kind of had to splurge. I was like, all right. I mean, I got high top Vans with flames on it. Like, how can I not buy that? Plus, it was at TJ Maxx. So, you know how that is. But then it's like,
dude, TJ Maxx is like Ross and Marshalls. You're like,
yeah, fine. I was like, how can I not buy this?
Yeah. Oh,
it's only in my 20 size. Bucks.
And it's always the weird colors that they sell at like TJ Maxx. Or you're like the ones that didn't really make it. And they're like, all right, let's put them like these purple Nikes. You know you want to buy them for $27.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Shout out to Ross for having a extra large purple shirt that no one wanted that I buy.
You know? Yeah, that only Mauricio would buy. I don't know. I'm excited for Space Jam 2. Space Jam 1 obviously is one of the classics, and this will be cool.
Yep.
Okay. Do you know about Google Maps?
I do.
You do? Have not been living
under a rock. I prefer Google Maps over Apple Maps.
I actually agree with you. I like Google products. Mm-hmm. I have an iPhone, but I like Google Maps.
Yeah.
The way that it works is pretty amazing because it can actually track when there's traffic jams.
Right.
So if I say, hey, you know, I'm not going to say it because it's going to activate everybody's speakers. But if I say, hey, lady, what's my commute to work? She's going to tell me, you know, hey, here's your commute.
And by lady, you mean Google.
I'm talking about Google. Okay, you know.
For the listeners out there,
in case that wasn't clear, I'm saving you the hassle of activating your speakers.
Hey,
right now.
I'm just kidding.
Well, dude, so how it tracks that, right, is like it tracks how many phones are in people's cars on the way to work.
Yeah.
So we can tell you if there's a traffic jam based on how many phones are in cars and on the road, et cetera, right?
Right.
Makes sense. So the crazy thing is this artist had the idea of basically faking a traffic jam. And what he did was he dumped like 100 phones into a wheelbarrow and then walked down the middle of the road slowly. And it literally tricked Google Maps into thinking there was a traffic jam.
That is insane. Okay. How is Google Maps so easily deceived?
Right?
I thought it was all... So I know it's about phones, but I thought it was more satellites and like video and like... But apparently it is just phones. Like it's not... There's no like cameras or anything. There's no accountability when it comes to it. It's just if your phones are there... And I think other apps, that's how they work. You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I wanted to see, or like what I imagine is like what the faces of the people at Google was like when they found out about this.
Well,
and they're like, oh no, this dude just like tricked our whole system.
Yeah. So now you've messed with people's commutes. You know, people are like, oh, I can't go down that road because is that a wagon? You know, like that's the kind of like response is like, I just got to this road and oh no, don't go down 6th Street because 6th Street is full of like, you know, cars. And then you're like this one random guy in a wagon, like
just walking down the street.
Yeah. Where was this guy? Was he in like Europe or something?
He's German.
He's a German artist. Okay. Well, yeah, you can probably get away with that in Germany, but in America,
if you're an artist, you can get away with anything.
Yeah, I feel like that's your...
You know, it's like, well, no, it's art. Oh, okay, yeah, carry on.
It's an installation. All right, we get it. You can't just say it's an installation and be okay with it.
That's what I say every time I get pulled over or something. Like, it's like,
this is actually an installation, officer.
You're a part of an elaborate piece of art.
Yeah.
I hope you're honored.
Here's your ticket. That's what you're gonna get after that conversation.
Be gone.
Yeah.
So. I don't know, man. That's pretty funny. I think it's funny when people trick technology like that because it's still, you know what it does? It reminds me that we're still in control a little bit.
Yeah. If the rise of machines happens, we know what to do. We're calling that German artist and we're gonna trick them. If the Terminators are out there, they're gonna be like, where are the humans? All I see is cars. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Thank you, Germany.
Yes.
Dude, you want to jump into the quick questions?
I do, man. I'm excited about this.
I am too.
So we posted a question on Instagram, which was very popular, actually. We have over 25 responses. And it was crazy because we didn't think you guys were going to respond so vigorously on this question. But this question we posed on Instagram was, what's your go-to response when you're using a public restroom and someone knocks on your stall door? Guys, we've all been there. We've all been there where we're going into the Giant or into the supermarket of your choice, and you say, all right, I'm going to go to the bathroom before I do all this shopping. And you're in the bathroom, and you lock the door, and you say, all right, here we go.
Finally, Super a moment Bowl of time. Peace.
Yeah, and so you sit, and you know your face is smushed against your knee because you're on your phone, on your hand, and you're like, all right, here we go, and you're just scrolling through Instagram, and then you hear thump, thump, thump. Or sometimes it's more aggressive. It's like, dum, 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 dum.
Or somebody's just like, yeah. Hey!
Am I setting the scene for you guys? And then, the one I hate is the aggressive, like, try to open the door.
Like,
it's like, you know it's locked, dude.
Then they try again, and then they walk away. Like, you can tell they're angry. They do one of these, like, ah. It's like, dude.
You know I'm like, you know, doing the business in here.
Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah. So, we posed this question out into the Instagram world. You guys responded in force. And so some of the more popular responses were yes, hello, hey. And then somebody said, come back with a warrant, which is like, if you're in the bathroom, you're like, come back with a warrant. That's awesome.
If it was a police officer and they're like, okay, well, they must be doing something in there. I'm going to go get a warrant and bust down the door.
Oh my gosh, dude. Like one of those battering rams you see on all the like action movies where they're about to go into a thing and they go, yeah, so then another one was, I'm making a sandwich in here, which was just strange. Like, it's like, all right, well, I guess, you're making a sandwich in there. Cool. Somebody knocks on the door and you just start high-pitched screaming.
That's one of my favorites. Because here's the deal. Like, I'm imagining being on the other end of that. And what... What I would do if I just, you know.
There's not much you can do.
Yeah, Tyler. What do you do? I just run probably, you know. Well, honestly, you know what's funny about these is that, especially those last couple, is like you're obviously, when you say something like that or when you scream, you're like, you're doing it because it's funny and you're like making the other person uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are, we get so uncomfortable about bathroom stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of awkward.
Yep.
So like, it reminded me of, in college, we had this one anthropology class and she gave us the task of like, okay, this week, go out there and like find a social norm of some kind. Mm-hmm. And I want you to like intentionally break the social norm.
Okay.
And so I was thinking about it. I'm like, what am I going to do? And the one I thought of was, well, I'm going to use a public restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody comes in and like... goes into the stall next to me, I'm going to try to like have a conversation with them.
Okay.
Because that's really awkward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're concentrating on other things.
Yeah. And well, needless to say, it didn't work. I tried to talk to...
How did you start off the conversation?
It was something along the lines of like, hey. How you doing?
Hey. I'm in here.
Wait, hey, you in here too?
Yeah.
How's it going over there? You know, I don't know. Whatever happened, listen, the guy didn't respond, but it was an interesting, experience.
So not to top that, but I've done my fair share of youth camps and church retreats and all this other stuff. And we had a couple boys that were just wild. And they, you know, the kind of kids that were just off the wall crazy. And
I know the type.
Yeah, so we had, you know, separate the dorms, boys and girls. And we had this one boy, his name was I forget his name now. It's good that I forgot his name. so he would go to the bathroom and he would have a magazine with him and he would not close the door. And he would just go and the door's wide open and he's just saying hi to people as they walk in and he's using the bathroom. And so it's almost like a dominance thing where he's like, hey,
yeah,
you're uncomfortable right now.
It's like, if I make you uncomfortable first, then I'm the top dog.
Yeah, you know, then you win. Like, yeah. You win. So shout out to that kid.
That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, I hope your career is going well in whatever you chose to do after.
Probably that. In sales or something bold, you know what I mean?
Maybe sells toilets.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at this point. That's hilarious, man.
So what a great question, man. I'm excited you guys chimed in. High-pitched screaming. you're definitely the winner. So
if we mention yours, shoot us an Instagram DM or something.
Yeah, you know, man, let us know.
Let us know. Yeah, we got another. Actually, wait, we got another Instagram question.
Yeah, so we were able to get some Instagram questions brought in. So thank you guys for posing these questions. We love your questions. Gabby the Musical asks, what was your favorite childhood sitcom growing up?
This one brings back the feels, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You know, I can think of some off the top of my head, just like Full House.
Yep.
You know.
Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World. Well, how'd the Full House song go?
Everywhere you look, everywhere there's a something.
And that, but the beginning was different.
I don't know, man.
That's something else. What is that?
Wait, what is that? I know what you're talking about.
Something.
No, that's
not. We're not editing this part out.
Family Matters? Is that a Family Matters?
Yeah, Paperboy. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. If you guys are listening and you know what is stuck in my head,
please.
We
need to know.
Anyway, sorry, Mauricio's rabbit trail strikes again. So I think my all-time favorite sitcom was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, it's a classic.
It's the best, dude. It's one of those like stories where you're just like, man, Fresh Prince, Will Smith in his prime, doing, you know, just being himself. You know, West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground.
I spent most of my days.
Yeah, like that's just, if you hear that,
it just instantly brings back the whole,
you just start bopping to it.
You can see it in your head, what's happening in the intro.
Yeah.
And who doesn't know that song?
I think part of my sense of humor came from watching that when I was like, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, just like, you know, because that was when like, you had the reruns on and you really just felt like that was the show back then.
Oh yeah.
You know, so yeah, Fresh Prince was huge for me. That last episode made me cry. The episode with his dad made me cry, where his dad comes back and,
dude,
you know, doesn't want anything to do with Will and Uncle Phil. It's just,
yeah. Uncle Phil comes through. Yeah, man, it's too much. Those old shows were emotional sometimes too. They had like some deep themes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you ever watch Home Improvement?
Of course I watched Home Improvement, dude. Dude,
that's the one I picked.
Yeah.
It's so good. Tim Allen back in the day, like, was just kind of hilarious and like just goofy and like, oh my gosh. And their family, like the three boys, were just like so crazy, but like it was so charming, you know? It was such a charming show.
I feel bad for Tim Allen always hurting himself trying to do these projects. Dude. Like how the emergency people have him on speed dial and like all this like he's great at fixing things, I guess, but
here's the problem though, is that we revisited the show now and like recently, now that I'm like married.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, I can relate. Yeah. I can relate with Tim Allen, like in some things. Yeah. It's like, oh, he wants to fix it himself. And then he like broke the wall and like, you know, he's got to call a contractor and
like because I think his whole thing was that he was, I guess he was a TV host that dealt with Home Improvement.
Exactly.
But I didn't really understand his, like, did he just grow up fixing things or was he? And I remember he always had like a rivalry with the other guy.
Al?
Al was his co-host.
Yeah.
But, Bob Villa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he always had like a rivalry with that guy and was like, oh, he tries to fix things better than me and all this stuff. And, you know, there's always times where he wanted to like use more power on his power drills and it would end up very poorly for his bones.
Yeah, man.
Home Improvement. And everyone had the same haircut. All those three boys had the like mushroom blonde hair.
Problem is, I used to look like that.
Ooh.
It's like, man, when I was a kid, that was like the style. So,
dude, pictures or it didn't happen. We got to find them. We got to dig up the mushroom haircut from Tyler.
Let's not, please. If we find one, maybe we'll put it on Instagram.
Yeah, so Gabby the Musical, shout out to you. Hopefully this answered your childhood sitcom question.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, we got one more quick question.
Ooh.
I want to know.
Okay.
What mythical creature do you think would improve the world most if it existed today?
Man, I'm going to have to say the obvious. Dragons. I think that if mm-hmm. there's a way to, you know, train horses and train all these crazy animals, I think we can train dragons to
I've
help.
Seen it yeah. in a movie.
Yeah.
How to train your dragon.
How to
I have literally the instruction manual on DVD.
Hiccup!
That's a true story.
What was that? Toothless.
Toothless. Oh, man.
What is the... I've seen the movie more times than... Have you seen the last one? The latest one? The like I've third seen one?
The, yeah, I think yeah, I have.
It's
yeah.
so good. It's
Oh, that's emotional.
Yeah, dude.
They get you with
yeah,
those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't deal with... Yeah, that I've seen that movie so many times. And it's funny because last time, like the latest one that came out, the third one, I was like, all right, Renee, we're gonna, you know how you can like rent movies on Amazon or whatever?
Yeah.
And like we usually... pick something if we're gonna like rent a movie because it's like $4 or something, like right. we're gonna rent something we both like, but I'm like, babe, I need to watch this movie. It's the last one of the three.
I gotta round out the saga.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're just well made, you know, but
they are, they're actually really good movies.
Yeah, so cutesy dragons like that, you know, because that dragon's more like a cat, I feel like.
That dragon. Some of those dragons, yeah.
Yeah, he's more like, all right, you know. Yeah, so if dragons are cute like that, yeah, I think dragons would be premier, you know, you can start a whole dragon riding sport. You can heat your home for free. You could, you know, so I think they would improve the world if we're able to control and not kill them off, you know.
Yeah, that's a good practical answer. And that's actually similar to mine, because mine was kind of a practical answer too. Yeah. Was giant dragons.
Oh no, just giants.
Or that. Whoa, what if we combine them? Oh my gosh. Giants riding dragons.
All right.
Because giants are huge.
Right.
So like we wouldn't need cranes anymore. Yeah. Right. Like we could just have giants lift stuff up onto buildings. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, you know what I just thought of is like, what if you had to move? Like moving is such a pain.
Yeah.
But like giants could just like pick up your moving truck and just like.
Or pick up your house.
Pick up. Oh my gosh. Think of the possibilities.
And then giants could get sponsorship by the supermarket called Giant. It'd be like a giant on a giant. But how would you feed a giant? Here's the thing with the giant situation is the maintenance of the giant. Because obviously the giant is going to want to eat a lot more than a regular person.
Ooh.
So now you're going to have to deal with like feeding a giant.
We should probably find out if giants eat humans too.
Yeah, because that's impractical.
Yeah, we would want to look into that before we bring them back.
Yeah, I think there's like a, what's that, fee-fi-fo-fum, you know, like that, you know, I'll grind your bones in the bread, or grind your bones in the bread.
I'm starting to regret this answer. Yeah.
No, but we can, they speak English, we can barter with them. We'll say, listen, all right, for every 10 people you eat,
you gotta help lift
us build a skyscraper.
You gotta lift a piano into my house, you know, like, yeah.
And by then, we're like solving the global crisis of too many people. No.
Oof.
Anyway,
oof.
Yeah. So we'll figure out that. But yeah, giants, man, I think it'll work.
Yeah.
I think it'll work.
We had some good practical answers there, I think.
Dude.
You know. We'll look into that, okay? We'll do some research.
We'll do some research for you guys. Don't fret. Yeah. Dragons and giants are coming. So,
oh man, that brings us to righteous reviews.
Man, we are flying. We're just getting here, dude.
These episodes go so fast.
I'm telling you, it's crazy.
I can't believe it.
What do you got for righteous reviews?
We want to review our favorite smells.
Ooh, you smell that?
That's not my favorite smell.
No, yeah.
Wait.
What? I think for us, if we're really gonna, you know, think about smells, we really should talk about Doji Natural Products.
Oh,
Doji Natural Products, you guys have like four amazing smells. You guys are awesome. Do you have any smells that you're thinking?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes with these righteous reviews, I got to really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
This one came to me pretty quick, and it was like I had like 10 different answers, which is also a bad problem because you got to pick one. But usually for me, I think my favorite smells are things that remind me of like a season in my life or like a time or like a memory.
Yep.
Because they do say that smell is very connected with memory.
Yes.
You've heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think for me, I guess if I had to pick one, it honestly might be like that wood burning smell.
Ooh,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's kind of twofold. Mm-hmm. I used to work in barbecue, and that hickory, you know, like smoke flavor smell.
Oh yeah,
is just
hickory first of all, is a great wood. Just in general,
just a delicious smelling wood. Mm-hmm. So that just, you know, that's that part. It's just that sweet aroma. And the other part, I think, is like growing up, we heated our house with wood for a long while. Mm-hmm. And so there's something almost like homey about the smell of a wood fire.
Oh, yeah.
It just reminds you of home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that is probably one of my favorite smells as well, is the burning of wood, especially hickory, especially like, you know, there's another one too. There's another wood that smells real sweet. I think if you burn pine, does it smell like?
It's kind of like a sour smell. Like, oh, it's really? A little bit of a bitter smell, okay. But I think it's not bad though. It's not bad. You know, it's just all preference.
Yeah. One of my favorite smells, man, honestly, is that fresh beach smell. You walk in on the beach and you smell that saltiness in the air. You know, and that just brings back so many childhood memories of going to the beach with my family and hanging out. Another weird smell is the smell when you walk into a pizza place.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know, like that like weird, like, it's like,
it's like doughy.
Yeah, it's like a doughy kind of like fiery, like, oh, this smells like, you can tell it's like a smell that you're like, oh yeah, that's it, like I'm about to eat some pizza, it's gonna be really good. Yeah, that's one of my favorite.
Related to that, I love the smell of yeasty things.
Oh, like bread.
Like bread. Mm-hmm. Like fresh baked bread. Yeah, and like yeast. Oh yeah. And like pizza dough, that's a good smell.
Oh yeah. Yeah, banana bread, that smells good. Blueberry muffins out of the oven. Oh man, this is getting me hungry, dude.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah, smell is so connected with food too, I'm realizing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like, well, yeah, because smell is like, I forget, more than half of your taste.
Whoa, is that true?
Yep. Yeah. So like if you can't smell something, usually everything tastes like styrofoam.
That reminds me. Yeah, I had a teacher actually in high school that he couldn't taste or smell.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it got him into trouble because he would accidentally eat like rotten food.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't smell that it was,
yeah,
that it was.
You
got to
check expiration dates. Yeah. And you got to, yeah, make sure nothing's growing on it. Another weird smell. I don't know how many people out there are with me. Gasoline.
Ooh, I do love that smell. I do.
I'm like, that smells good.
Smell it like a little too much.
Like, yeah, and like you get lightheaded and you can't drive home and you got to sit there for 5 minutes. Or is that just me?
No, that's me. I'm with you.
Let me think. What else? Gasoline. Yeah, gasoline's a big one.
You know what I love?
What?
Especially around the holidays is a Christmas tree smell.
Oh, yeah. I smelled that maybe for the first time when I moved up here because you guys had one. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
You guys never had real trees.
People don't really do it.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of places you can get it in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Actually, my brother lives in Jacksonville and he was saying that the tree prices, if you try to get a real tree, it's really expensive.
Yeah, because it's like a commodity.
Yeah.
Christmas, that piney smell, that mountain pine.
It's in my doji too.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. I think every time the holidays come around, we try to get like a pine smelling candle.
Do you like gingerbread? Like the smell of gingerbread?
Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah. I like that. I like spicy cinnamon smells, I think. I like pumpkin spice too. And this is just, you know.
Basic.
Yeah, I'm so basic, dude. I'm a basic white girl. Pumpkin spice is,
though, honestly. That's like a guilty pleasure. It's like, you don't want to admit that you like pumpkin spice things, but you're like, but I do though.
Alcohol, for some reason.
Yeah?
I don't know why.
All these weird
smells now. I'm trying to think. Like alcohol smell, like I like the smell of alcohol.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
What did you say that reminded me of? Yeah, there's some funny ones like that you
nail
wouldn't.
Polish.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, because that brings back a memory too. I remember going with my mom when she would get her nails done.
Oh yeah, and that smell.
And there's that nail salon smell. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been in a nail salon.
I have. Well, dude. So Renee's friend, her name's Anna. She manages a nail salon.
Oh, okay.
And so she's always in there, and like she would inhale all those fumes and like they have to wear the mask and all that stuff. So definitely like nail salon smell. I like it, but after a while it's like, okay. Like,
yeah. How do you like stay awake?
I don't know, man.
Smelling all these
fumes. Really does put you. Yeah.
You start getting sloppy towards the end of the day with your paint.
Woozy, dude. Yeah. Man, favorite smells, the beach, bread, Christmas.
I think smell is one of those underrated senses because, you know, people always talk about, would you rather lose your sense of sight or hearing, you know, like those are the big ones that people talk about, but smells important. It's one of those things that you don't maybe think about, but like if you lost it, it would be like, you know, it'd be bad.
I think any of your five senses, if you lose any of them, it's annoying. Like you, imagine
to say the least.
Yeah. It's like annoying. Like you can't touch.
Yeah.
Imagine not being able to touch or feel anything.
It's right there, but I just can't.
Yeah.
Can't.
It doesn't feel like anything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but smell would be, like I said, you can't taste it. Everything tastes like paper.
Oof.
You know? Yeah, that's the worst.
That's a good one, man. Smells are fun because you can think about, you know, reminisce and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I almost can't believe that we're at our final section of the show.
Really?
Yeah, I had to double check, but I think we are.
Oh, man, what are we in?
This is our deeper dives, Mauricio.
Deeper dive section.
Yeah. And this one, you know, a lot of people are resonating with this part of the show. I'm excited.
Yeah, we've heard. And just to talk about that a little bit, you know, I think a lot of people, they love the stuff we talk about in the beginning of the episode. But I think that they hold on once they get to this section because they really want to hear what we have to say about certain deeper topics because, you know, a lot of podcasts, they'll kind of just ramble for a little bit, and that's cool, you know, but we want to be the podcast that like actually hits on issues that like you're dealing with, you know, and issues that people really want to hear. Just regular commentary that isn't biased a certain way, you know, because I think that that's important too. Like you want somebody that like literally we gain nothing from having our opinions.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about something, it's because this is how we feel, you know. So that's why our deeper dive is so important for so many people, you know, that they get to hear unbiased, legit advice from two guys that have, lived it. So
yeah, we have a lot in a lot of ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We try to pick topics that we really feel like we can speak to.
Yeah.
We don't pick topics that are way, way, way above our head.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we both have experience with different, you know, social services or working with people or serving people in different capacities, and so like. It's been really, really, really cool and encouraging to hear how people like are genuinely like on a heartfelt level resonating with some of the topics we're talking about too.
Yeah, a couple of people said, man, you guys just sound genuine. A couple of people said, you guys are just trying to show the world how to be cool, like cool people with cool. And we're like,
that one touched me.
Yeah, we're like, what? We're cool. No, but I think he was just meaning like, you know, how to be cool with people, how to deal and be around other people without, you know, taking advantage of them or making them feel less than or whatever. And that's basically our thing is we want to be genuine with people.
Yeah. And there's a lot of sources for content. Honestly, you guys have a lot of choices and there's a lot of places that you can go to get really, really opinionated topics, and there's a lot of places you can go to get really aggressively, you know, delivered opinions on different topics. And you know, I think in a lot of ways, the world, like a lot of people are just kind of tired of really aggressive or really like agenda driven.
You get sick of it, man. You get sick of all of it.
I find myself everything I read or everything I look at or watch, I think I have this problem where it's like I keep thinking like, well, who's funding it? Who's behind it?
Yeah,
what's their agenda? And like, I don't want to be like paranoid, but at the same time, like, you know,
and somebody asked that about us.
Oh yeah. What would you say?
I would say we don't have an agenda. We really don't. We want to make sure you guys are encouraged in your ride to work and your, you know, in your workplace and your home and being a good husband and being a good wife. Taking care of your kids, like that's really our agenda, is to make sure that you guys are thriving as you listen to our podcast.
Yeah,
you know, it's not about an agenda for us. So
yeah, it's really not, and hopefully you guys see that.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, that said, that was a nice little rant, but
you want to
we can actually jump into our topic now.
All right, what is it?
And this week we are talking about mentorship.
Mentorship.
Or guidance.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. I think that if you hear the word mentorship or mentor, you probably have a very different opinion depending on who you are and what your experience with that word has been.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you've had bad mentors, good mentors, people that... you know, maybe people that you really held to a high regard and then they end up not being a good mentor for you. Yeah, mentorship's important. I always tell people if they're you know, wanting to grow in whatever spectrum, whatever, you know, arena that their life decides to go, I think that mentorship is important. You know, having somebody to kind of coach you through, guide you through certain things.
I totally agree. I think that your mentor can change who it is by depending on what stage of life you're in.
Yeah.
When you're young, you know, maybe a teacher at school is a mentor or a coach. Then you know, you might graduate, you might move on, and then maybe you have a boss or a business, you know, a leader in your business or something that mentors you and sort of takes you under their wing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't maybe even realize also that they're mentoring you. Like until afterwards, you might look back and be like, oh, wow, I learned a lot from that person. They really took an interest in me. They really guided me through some, you know, challenging stuff.
Yeah. When you have a secret mentor, like somebody that's kind of looking out more for you than you're looking out for you.
Yeah.
Because I've had that. I've had, you know, people in my life that have spoken life into my, you know, my world. And really, I've ignored their call. I haven't heeded their call. I've kind of just, whatever, you know. And I think part of it is because I really had an issue with authority growing up. I didn't really like anybody telling me what to do. And some of us can relate. You know, I was talking to somebody and they were saying, yeah, I was just an angry kid. You know, I was an upset kid. You know, and I feel like I was just an angry kid growing up and really didn't understand how to relate to people. And but this, you know, this person, this individual really decided to mentor me despite all that. You know, despite me being an angry kid or disrespectful or all that, he said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to teach you some of the really vital things that you need to know. And it changed me. It really did.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I would say I had different, I would say one of my first mentors really, well, I think there's different mentors throughout life and it kind of changes as you grow.
Yeah.
And, but I remember a few instances and, a few times where someone kind of became a mentor because, you know, I worked with them or whatever reason you have to be around them. And they just speak in your life. Like you said, they give you advice and they're usually, you know, they could be bold sometimes and be like, hey, listen, you need to shape up.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they're just there to hang out with you. Like you're just friends. You're just buds. And like, that's pretty cool. And that can absolutely, like I can relate with you, Mauricio. Like that has definitely, I look back on that and I remember how much it shaped me at that time.
Yeah. And I think that there's boundaries when it comes to mentorship, whether you're mentoring someone or someone is mentoring you. I think there's definitely boundaries. You know, you don't want to get taken advantage of. You don't want people to look at you and say, hey, by the way, you know, this, and that, and kind of make you feel like, okay, well, I have to listen to him because he's my mentor.
Sure.
You know, obviously, if there's ever, you know, a time where a mentor oversteps their bounds and makes you feel like, hey, you know, do this or else, I think that's the moment where they cease being someone, a good voice in your life. You know, and some of us maybe, you know, because I see it all the time, man, people get taken advantage of. A lot of people are selling their products online, you know, leadership class and mentorship class. And these guys buy them, you know, and they don't do their research. Because here's the thing. I think investing in yourself is one of the most important things. I think taking a class and learning about, you know, leadership and mentorship and all this stuff, like that's super important. Always have a mentor. But, you know, don't go into financial debt for it, you know, and don't let that person kind of brainwash you into buying even more products.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's scammers out there.
Yeah. And it almost comes back to what we were literally just talking about, which is almost like that. Well, what's their agenda?
Yeah.
You know, and this is tricky because not everybody has this skill, but if you can work on becoming like a discerning person,
yeah,
someone who can you know, analyze a person and sort of get to the root of why they're doing what they're doing. And and I'm not even saying that that's like something you need to overanalyze with everyone you meet.
Yeah.
But like, if you come across someone that is sort of becoming a mentor for you, and you can look at them and you can see that they really have a pure heart about it, and they have pure intentions. They're not trying to pull one over. They're not trying to take advantage of you. They're not trying to gain your trust so that they can, you know, make you work harder or something. Yeah. Like, if you can see where their intentions are, that's huge.
Yeah, and mentorship exists as a whole because a person wants to invest in you. They want to see you grow. They want to see you thrive. They want to see you go places that they probably will never go. That's one of the big reasons why I mentor, you know, high school, middle school kids, is because I believe that they have a purpose. I believe they're created for greater things. I believe, you know, they can be, you know, amazing world changers. Yeah. And so that's the reason I mentor, is because I know that through that mentorship, you know, because their parents speak into their lives, but so do other kids, so do bullies, so do social media, Instagram, all these kind of things speak into their lives already. And so really, they're getting mentored by other things regardless, how to act, how to speak, how to be. And so if I can just be a voice in their life and say, hey, listen, you know, I get what everybody's saying, but really, that's not what it is. Then kind of that shifts over to me having the opportunity and the privilege to mentor them in their life and telling them the hard stuff, like, hey, you need to cut off that relationship because it's toxic or whatever. But that all kind of comes with like knowing how to, you know, guide a person.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And that's a big, you know, it's a big responsibility, I think, as a mentor. Mm-hmm. If you're someone that's if you're someone that's leading someone else, you know, you have a lot of responsibility there, and, you know, it shouldn't be taken lightly. But at the same time, I think there's maybe a fear of the idea of mentorship.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you know, there's a lot of young people, there's a lot of inexperienced people, there's a lot of, I mean, even if you're, you know, 50 years old, you could still have a mentor who's done what you're trying to do already, you know, who's already lived it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that wisdom and that knowledge is being wasted if it's not being passed down.
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of love the idea of mentorship. When it's done right, it's really cool to be able to, you know, just kind of take what someone else has learned and just kind of apply it to your own life.
Yeah. What would you say is a good way to, I guess a good type of... a good type of method to be able to mentor somebody, you know, if you can put it in like 3 or 4 words.
It actually reminds me of, so like my wife's in nursing school and I remember she had a class, where they were talking about, as nurses, you know, your goal isn't to, you know, tie somebody up and drag them to their destination. The goal really is to encourage someone to become autonomous. You want to empower your patients to take care of themselves, not slap them over the face with, you know, here's your apple, eat it. It's healthy. Smack. Yeah. You know, it's not that. It's what it is you're trying to encourage them and incite sort of a mental shift so that they take care of themselves.
Right.
And the phrase she used to describe that, whoever her professor was guide, not advise.
I like that.
And I think where that sort of comes from is just that heart of like, you're guiding them, you know, you're kind of showing them like, I might have a little bit more knowledge than you on this topic.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, for you, maybe you're talking to, you know, a teen kid or something, and you're saying like, hey, listen, I've been through relationships. I know how it goes. I'm a little bit more experienced. But you're not smacking them over the head saying, do this, and you'll be fine. You're saying like, hey, listen, this is my experience. I'm going to guide you. So I think that that's where that kind of comes from. And I think that that's a really important quality as a mentor, is to understand your role in that person's life.
Yeah. It's huge because like, I come from, you know, guys mentoring me, not really having a dad in the picture. Guys that came into my life and mentored me and kind of shifted my mindset, you know, my mental game shifted through mentorship. And so I was talking to somebody. They said they were talking about, I think it was our buddy Trent from Hustle Energy. He was talking about mentorship and all that. Nice. And I said, mentorship is will get you past the waves or something ridiculous. I said,
I like that. Like
the
yeah.
mentorship, you know? And I was like, gosh, I can't get any more cheesy on Instagram. And he liked it. He was like, dude, that's awesome. You know, but yeah, so I think a mentor is supposed to guide you. I think they're supposed to push you. You know, and I came from a background where the guys that would mentor me would also couple it with hard work. You know, one day we cleaned the entire upstairs gym, top to bottom, where we used to meet in youth group, and we cleaned, you know, man, acres of stuff, like old raggedy stuff that was there. And we were so exhausted at the end of the day, and we kind of just laid back and we're like, oh, I'm so tired. And there was kind of like a relief there of like, oh, you know. And so it tied my mentorship, it tied what he was teaching me to a physical action. So I always remember him telling me, hey, it feels good to work hard, doesn't it? Like, I can always remember that one instance where it just felt right. And it was tied to a physical action. It was tied to something I was doing. And so those are the things that, like, I think mentorship has to be. It as much as it is mental, it has to be physical too. It has to be, you have to have a goal and a purpose in your mentorship, you know?
That's a really good point. And I'm thinking, I didn't think about this before, but I'm thinking back on all the experiences I've had that I would consider like mentorship experiences.
Yeah.
And they, I think every one of them is tied to some sort of goal.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, we just hang out and I get mentored. Like, that might work,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's really effective when you're working with someone towards a goal and they're guiding you through that process, you know?
Yep.
You guys both have this singular goal,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's a group of people.
Yeah.
You have this singular goal and you learn life as you approach it. And I think that's really cool. I've always enjoyed experiences like that.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, your mentor is not going to be there. And this is the kind of end game when it comes to mentorship. At the end of the day, the mentor is not going to be there, and it's just going to be you. You're older at this point, and now you need to mentor someone.
Yeah.
And so the whole point of the mentorship issue is that if you're not gaining enough knowledge, and this is how you know if somebody's scamming you or not, if you're not gaining enough knowledge to multiply what you've learned in that mentorship program with someone else, then it wasn't really good mentorship. It was more like, hey, let's hang out, I'll tell you some stuff, and then you won't put it into action. Mentorship has to be put into action.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the biggest thing. And because of the mentorship you had, you're able to help other people later in life, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it works. And people, you know, like I said, if we're trying to mentor someone and we're not really, you know, getting through to them, it's not the end of the world. They're just resisting it right now because maybe, you know, like unsolicited, what is it? Unwanted advice comes on deaf ears.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you're talking. Yeah. You know,
like,
I heard that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, oh, you know, hey, how about you do this? And they don't want to do it. Like,
yeah,
if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
They're not asking for your advice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you give it to them. Like, most of the time, they don't really care.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I don't.
So it has
ask.
To be like a willing,
yeah,
mutual relationship.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I also want to add too, like, in my experience, being, well, not that I've necessarily mentored people. I don't know that I've ever really been a mentor. Maybe to an extent, you know, maybe on a small scale I have, you know, you influence people's lives, but mentors I've had, I would say a lot of times that extra effort and that extra, you know, persistence they give to you is pretty selfless.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times they're not really getting much out of it except for just the satisfaction of knowing like, well, I'm like, you know, I'm speaking into the next generation.
Yeah.
So it is like a selfless act. And I think I look back on that now and I think, man, I'm like really appreciative because it's not like I was really giving anything in exchange to be taught by this person.
Yeah. It's a certain kind of heart.
It is.
It's a certain kind of person that does that. And if they don't have that in them, you know. And I'll see guys, you know, motivational speakers. I do a lot because my job is to put on a housing conference every year for the state. And I have to deal with keynoters, and all these keynoters really, their whole purpose is they've got mentorship programs for people, but their whole purpose really is to motivate people to get on stage and make people feel like, oh, you know, hurrah, you know.
Right.
And a lot of these guys, we had one guy that came in to speak at our conference, and it was about himself 90% of the time. Mm. And people could tell, like, instantly, they're like, this guy, he's just trying to sell me his book. Or he's keeps name dropping people that he was with. You know, he said, I was, you know, on the same network as Oprah, and I was this and I was that. And then you're like, dude, like, get out of here, man. Like, you don't want to mentor anyone, really, because mentorship is about sacrificing, you know, yourself and part of you so that you can see a legacy in the person you're mentoring. You know, and having accountability with that person is incredibly important too.
Oh, I totally agree on an accountability thing. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be somebody you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think as time goes on, like, we're pretty good as a society now at spotting a salesman. You know what I mean? Like, spotting that person that's just trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, guard yourself a little bit when you're taking advice from someone, you know. Figure out what their goal is, but also don't be too paranoid to really accept guidance and you know, wisdom from someone who really does have good intentions to just help and be there. So
yeah, people DM us all the time, hey, how'd you start your podcast? Hey, you know, how do you get so much engagement? You know, I see you get like 100 likes every time you post, all this stuff, you know. And in a way, that's a little bit of mentorship. I think that that's more like, hey, you know, if I have the resources and I know how to do a certain thing, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you, and then you're going to thrive. You know, and part of the reason is just giving back to people that, you know, for whatever reason, don't know how to do the things you do. Give back, because really, that's the only way to thrive is if you're giving back to people. Because at the end of the day, if you hold on to your knowledge, it dies with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we've said it before. We've talked about generosity and how we, you know, we believe in it. You know, I'm not even saying that I'm like the best at it. I'm just saying, like, I believe in it. I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's something super rewarding about, you know, just being a little selfless sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take care of yourself. I get that. But at the same time, like, you know, when you give to someone, even whether it's time, what was the thing you said? Time, treasure, or talent, right?
Yeah, yeah. Time, treasure, talent. Those are the three things of generosity you should give.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, because it's, and sometimes we think, oh, giving means treasure. I'm going to give money to somebody that's, you know, a charity or something.
Yeah.
But honestly, to me, I really liked that phrase because I was like, that reminds me that, like, sometimes time is what you have to give, and sometimes that's harder to give than it is to give money. Sometimes 100%. It's easy to chuck $20 at something and be like, I did my part.
Yeah.
But it, like, can you give up an hour or two to help your buddy move? Like, do I want to do that? Like,
that's even why if I don't own a truck.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like, hey, can you help me move? Yeah. So no, this is a great topic. I think we'll dive deeper into, you know, mentorship later on in this year. Because we really, you know, people definitely need, and this is one thing that I heard from somebody when I was telling them, kind of explaining the podcast, you know, somebody said, well, you know, people definitely need to be coached in the things you guys are talking about. You know, and it's not like we're talking about anything out of this world, but these are kind of the important things, you know, mentorship, leadership. You know, we'll be talking about grief in the next couple of weeks, and that's a huge topic. These are things that you just need normal people in your life to talk about them with.
Yeah,
you know, and you may be screaming at our podcast right now, saying yes. you know, and that's really why we do the podcast.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, man, I'm just excited for the next couple podcasts, next couple episodes. It's gonna be really good.
Yeah, man. Things are picking up. Like, it's exciting to see. People are really engaging.
Yeah.
We just want to thank you guys again.
Yeah, we're trying to hit that 1,000 follower mark, guys. So hook it up. Help us out.
We're so close. Yeah, invite somebody to like the page if you think they could benefit. And the big thing, too, like, I want to ask, if you guys are enjoying the podcast, you know, if you liked this episode, we definitely encourage you to just shoot over a review on iTunes.
Yes,
please. Those are, honestly, it keeps us going, honestly, a little selfishly here. Like, it encourages us.
Yeah, subscribe. Subscribe,
leave a review. I mean, that also helps us to reach other people that might benefit from some encouragement, from some laughs. And yeah, that's sort of the mission.
Yep, absolutely. So, so if you reach the end of our podcast, man, we always like to mention our Patreon.
Yeah.
You guys jump on there every week. You guys give monthly. And really, you know, now that we've gotten Doji as one of our sponsors, we also want to kind of address the whole Patreon situation.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are awesome and you guys give. Patreon is really helps us kind of keep the podcast kind of people-centric. By you guys giving, it really puts you guys in the forefront. You guys get to ask questions. You guys get to feel like you're investing in something amazing. And the Patreon really helps us make sure that our monthly bills are paid. And then the sponsorship really goes towards the different equipment and end goals that we, you know, because right now we have great microphones, great audio software, but as we move forward and as we want to venture into YouTube and all these other mediums, that's really what is helping us with the sponsorship. So those are the kind of two things that you need to, you know, look at and say, man, your Patreon helps us immensely. And the sponsorship is really just for the future.
So. Yeah, it really is. And honestly, guys, don't feel like just because we have a sponsor that the Patreon is going unnoticed. Like, honestly, that is core to what we do. We depend on those donations. Like, you guys are keeping us going and we couldn't be more grateful. You guys are our stakeholders, really. Like Mauricio is saying, like, the people that are investing in the show, you know, and even if it's just engaging online, you know, you guys are our stakeholders. You guys are our feedback. Like, we take that to heart for sure. So we want your thoughts, we want your opinions, we want your questions for the show, and we just want this to be a family thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, guys, we'll see you in a couple weeks. We appreciate you. Love you guys.
Love you, dude.
Bye.
See ya.
Woo.